Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein, and Lori Weigel is back with us for another episode. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Allison.
For those who haven't heard Lori before on the program, she's the general manager of our Ecotech program office. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Sure. We established the Ecotech program office a little over 2 years ago now to focus on how our products can have a positive impact on the environment. So we look at both the direct footprint of our products and how we can reduce the energy consumption for the same or greater amount of work produced. And we also look at how our products can be applied to improve environmental characteristics, maybe associated even with other industries.
Last time you were here, you were about to head off to Copenhagen. And I need to ask you, what was that like to be in the midst of all those discussions in Copenhagen? And what did you learn?
The trip to Copenhagen was probably the single best business trip I've ever taken in my life. It was just an amazing experience. While I was there, I wrote a couple of blogs for Intel. And it's easy in my role and, you know, interacting with my counterparts in the other tech companies to get really caught up in what we need to do to reduce CO2 emissions, et cetera. And we forget that there are people who actually are skeptical about climate change.
Yep.
And I found when I blogged that even within Intel, there were, you know, some people who reacted negatively to the fact of us putting too much focus on CO2. And what I came to realize is, even if you don't believe in climate change and you're not worried about reducing CO2 emissions for that reason, the reality is because of events like COP15 and the way that society's moving forward, there is almost certainly going to be a price on carbon. So there's going to be a business reason to track and reduce CO2 emissions, even aside from the climate reason.
Last time you talked about the transference from mitigation to adaptation. Do you want to just talk a little bit about what that meant?
We've been really focused on how do we mitigate energy consumption? How do we mitigate CO2 emissions? The reality is resources are very constrained in the world, and our population is projected to grow to 9 billion people. I've heard now Carter Roberts from World Wildlife Fund cite a statistic a couple of times that today we're consuming 1.25 planets worth of natural resources. And when China has the same level of affluence as the United States, we'll need 2 planets worth of resources. So the reality associated with that is resources are becoming more and more constrained. And so we actually need to adapt to the resource constraints and to what's happening with our climate. And we need to look for ways to apply technology to that problem as well.
What is the next major change that you think you're looking for that will show that society is responding in a great way in terms of mitigation and adaptation?
I actually think the thing to look forward to in this decade is innovation. You've got so many entrepreneurs and people who are really creative looking at these opportunities or looking at this as an opportunity and looking for ways that you can make it easy for the right thing to happen or even attractive for the right thing to happen. So I get really excited about creating new possibilities as opposed to thinking about, oh, geez, how do we convince everybody that, you know, we're running out of resources so they need to sacrifice? I actually think we need to be looking for the opportunities.
So what does it mean in terms of the tech industry and what we can be doing to help with that? Where are the opportunities?
You know, a couple of examples that I think are really powerful are looking at water in particular for agriculture. Applying technology can make us much, much more effective. So that includes everything from doing weather modeling so that you know when it's going to rain, so that you know when it's going to irrigate, to embedding sensors so that you know exactly how much to water so you don't overwater and waste, and you're being very specific about where you're watering. Another very different kind of example is just looking at disaster preparedness and putting technology and communication systems in place so that we can cope with disasters a little bit better.
You know, I think that the main thrust of what you're saying is that we need to apply information across all of the things that we do to make them more efficient, to make them more mindful in terms of choices. What is Intel's role?
Well, I think the fundamental thing that Intel's bringing to this is really Moore's Law. And so this notion of being able to double the number of transistors every 18 to 24 months gives us this incredible engine of innovation that the whole industry builds on. I think we're also doing work pretty aggressively with the industry so that we're moving things together. Because so many of the problems in the environmental space are bigger than any one company or any one organization, even any one government can deal with. And so being very, very actively engaged and playing a leadership role there is also very important.
Well, thanks so very much for being on the show today, Lori. It's always fascinating to talk to you.
Thank you, Allison.